The scripture reading is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through till 20. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child laying in the manger. Then they saw this. They made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. Amen.
If you're visiting with us today or haven't been here for a few weeks, you'll note that we have some artwork around the side, three pieces up, and this comes from Moyua's store, which he has First Nations work, particularly from the Inuit community up north. He was up there. He and his wife lived there for 8 years. And so we are using some readings for the reading of the Advent candle from Cheryl Baer, who is First Nations herself. She wrote these pieces along the lines of reconciliation. So today we're thinking of reconciliation and particularly the theme of joy. It reminds me of a story. This piece here, which is over there on the side, is called The Travelers. And my niece and nephew, Harrison, they were out west and they were traveling north up Jordan. Maybe you know this story. They went up far up into the north, actually drove across the ice bridge that is up there, an ice road, and got caught up there in a storm, a crazy storm. And they just pitched their tent on the side of the road, and that they were going to do the storm and out in the middle of the tundra. And it happened that a woman, First Nations woman, was coming along by. She stops in a truck, and she says to them, she saw them, like, "What are you doing here?" And they said, "Well, we were caught in the storm, so we're just going to wait it out." And she says, "Oh, no, you're not. Hop in the truck." So they get in the truck, and they go with her to her house. And so they're there for several days. And they're carving up big chunks of, I don't know what it was. You remember? I don't know if they got moose up there, but it was something big. And they were carving it. This is a true story. But they were there for several days, and one of her friends of the woman's house came in. And at the beginning, she was calling them tourists. And after several days, she was saying, the woman asked who these people are. She was saying they are travelers. And so for her, travelers is this story. That's a welcoming term that, hey, you're here legitimately and you're doing something. You're not just tourists. So I thought, like, wow, that's kind of interesting. And when I read the name of this piece, The Travelers, I reminded of Harrison and Rachel and some of their adventures. So lucky probably that they didn't try to wait it out in a tent. So that was good. Anyway, the theme of go and see, go and tell, the shepherd's response. Let's begin with a quote. It's a little bit long, three slides of Karl Rahner, great theologian. "The great experiences of life are, of course, one's destiny, a gift of God and of his grace, but they nevertheless mostly only fall to the lot of those who are prepared to receive them. Otherwise, the star rises above their lives, but they are blind to it. For the sublime hours of wisdom, art, and love, we must prepare ourselves wholly with soul and body. So it is with the great days in which we celebrate our redemption. And here's the key piece. Do not leave them to chance. Do not drift into them listlessly in an everyday frame of mind. Prepare yourself. Determine to prepare yourself. That is the first thing. I like that. Because we can drift into Advent. We can drift into the Christmas season. It's all about presents and stuff. Our culture gets very excited about it. We can just drift into it and not really receive it and not really reflect on what is essential about this season and the birth of Christ and what that means for us. And so today, and hopefully through this season, we don't want to drift, but we want to really reflect on Jesus and what that means. So let's keep that in mind as we begin. So setting the scene. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. So it takes place in Bethlehem, 5 miles south of Jerusalem. Famous place in the Old Testament, the city of David. We read one of his psalms. It's the place of Ruth and Boaz, the story of Ruth. It's also the birthplace of Rachel, Jacob's wife. And so, a pivotal place. Today, the Church of the Holy Nativity, you can go there and see maybe the actual cave where Christ was born. So it takes place in this small little town. It's called Polis, called a city, but it's really a town, Bethlehem. And shepherds are watching their flocks, protecting them. Shepherds were part of the lower class. It was a class society very much in the first century. Shepherds, it was impossible to remain ceremonially clean. They couldn't wash themselves as Jews all the times through the day that was wanted by the law. And so they were looked down upon. I mentioned a variety of times that in Bolivia, I've been out and about in the rural areas, and I've seen many shepherds taking care of llama and alpaca, sheep also. Man, it's a hard life. You're out there in the cold, and you're just walking, trying to find pasture. So these are the shepherds. Takes place at night. A real night sky, dark sky. Out there in the cold at night, 3 or 4 in the morning. So we're trying to picture the idea, what's going on in this time. Suddenly, as Muyiwa's video showed, an angel appears and the shepherds are terrified. They are freaked right out, right, by this amazing bright light. And so the point of it is this is God's great reversal. Is that God does not come to the palace. Normally in the mythology, the mythic stories, you know, when something great has happened, it happens in the palace. It doesn't happen out where the poor are. But Christ comes to identify with us and with the marginalized of society, to those who are oppressed. That's how he comes. So he comes to the poor. He doesn't come to the rich. Doesn't come to the wealthy, doesn't come to the billionaires of our society. He comes to the poor and to the oppressed, and the message is, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. And over we hear that statement in the scriptures, do not be afraid. And of course, in our world, there's lots of things to be afraid of. Depending where we are, depending what parts of the world, what countries are going on, what's happening, we can feel afraid. And the invitation, of course, in ourselves, we're going to feel afraid. We can't cope with all that's going on. But the invitation here is to look to God, to depend on God, to lean on Him, because he's going to work on our behalf, so do not be afraid. So this morning, I'm not sure what's going on in your life, There could be fear bubbling up somewhere. And the message is, on our own, we can't handle it. We're going to be afraid. So let's cast our eyes on the one who will help us and who will walk with us. So that's how the story begins. The angel appears. So outside of Bethlehem, the angel's statement. So now we come to the proclamation. Here are the travelers, the shepherds, if you like, are travelers. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, an army of the heavenly host is the word that's used there, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." Glory. We sang that song, our last song before the hymn, glory. We give glory. To know glory. So do not be afraid. Why? Because God brings good news. It's not bad news. It's good news to you and to me. Good news from God. News of great joy. And the text emphasizes that. Joy, great. Great joy. This is the great joy that God has worked. So, you know, in the history of mankind, the history of humanity, this is the first time something new is happening here. And the newness is that God is coming in flesh, in this baby, to bring us salvation. That's the newness. This hasn't happened before. So God is doing a brand new thing revealed in Jesus. That's the great joy. That's what the angel's singing about. Good news, great joy to all the people, not just to the Jewish community, but to the Gentiles. Another text there reminds us of this is good news to the Gentiles, to all the nations. So it's good news to us. Good news to you and to me. Not just to one ethnicity, it's to all the peoples of the earth. Good news of great joy to all the people. So one writer talks about God's joy is greater than our gloomy day. Maybe this past week's been a tough week for you, and you don't feel too much joy. Maybe you feel gloomy. Man, it's been a gloomy week. The writer is saying that God's joy is greater than our gloomy day. God's joy is greater than the circumstances that you and I are stuck in at the moment, perhaps. Do not be afraid. Good news, great joy to all the people. Why? Because this day, a baby is born. This day, a kairos moment. In this day, in one 24-hour day, God breaks into the story, the human story. A kairos moment. Something totally different. And then we have these three titles for the baby. That he is Savior. That he is Christ, which is the translation for Messiah. And he is Lord. Savior, Christ, Messiah, Lord. He's the one who brings salvation. He is the promised Messiah. Isaiah 9, Isaiah 11, the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is this one. He is Lord. And so he is the one who breaks into our world and overcomes oppression, the chosen one of God. That's what the angel is saying. He's very excited about it. We might be stuck in our gloomy day. But that doesn't change the reality of this story, just as Moya was said off the top. This is a true story. But we have to be able to receive it. We have to be able to enter into it. That's up to you. That's up to me. Because we can just drift through it and not receive anything from it. The sign is what? The sign is a baby born in a manger. Babies are born all over the planet every day. Babies are born in our great city of Toronto every day. And so this sign is just another little baby being born. Happens to be born in a manger. And so we can go by that stable and see nothing other than a baby born. Or this can be a powerful sign that speaks to us of God. And that's the way God shows up in our world. And that's why Rahner is saying we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention to the little things that are there, these little signs. We might call them little sacraments, little less sacraments, where God breaks into our world. The sign is not the angel choir. Get it? The sign is not, in a moment, there are going to be millions of angels, and that will really blow you away, and that's the sign. The sign is, there will be a little baby born in a manger. Go find that sign. So you and I, in the Advent season, can we be aware? Can we be aware to wake up to God's little signs? Because that's how God speaks to us. He's not going to blow you away, most likely, by an angel choir. He shows up in your life and my life in these little ways. But that we can go right by him. Or we can hear God's voice. That's the sign. And the sign now is reinforced with the angelic choir. Note, praising God, giving glory to God, which will bring about peace on earth ultimately. Shalom. Peace is shalom. God's shalom. God's wholeness, his wellness, his harmony in your life. That is our ultimate reality, God's shalom. In the midst of our gloomy day is this horizon of God's shalom, God's peace to you and to me, God's joy to you and to me. The angel choir. So it's an expression of solidarity. So with the first piece, the setting is the great reversal. Here is solidarity. That God walks with you. God walks with me. We are not alone. You may feel alone. You can be in a nice family. Everything can be great, and you can still feel alone. Nobody understands me. I feel alone. And what the story here is that God is in solidarity, and we are not alone. We are not alone. He walks with us. Whatever the reality, whatever the circumstances, the God who is your creator walks with you and walks with me. We are not alone. But to be aware of that, we need to just be settled, open our hearts, receive God's presence. We are not alone. His solidarity with us. So to live in awareness of God's presence in spite of the obstacles, in spite of the money concerns. Anybody got any money concerns? You don't want to lift your hands on that, but I know you all do. Pretty much you all have some concern of money somewhere. Health concerns? Yeah, right? I've had a back that's been bugging me the last little while. I never had muscles that, you know what they do? They crunch up, they freak out. I don't know, like super stressed out muscles. Tamara, how are you, love? Good to see you. We've been praying for you. But we all have these health concerns, you know, whatever they are. They come up. Relationship issues. Whatever they are, they go on and on and on. All these stressors and these circumstances that are challenging. And the story of Christmas is that God is in solidarity with us, that he walks with you, he walks with me. And in this Advent season, we can be invited to particularly think of that. Why? Because God shows up in flesh. Anselm talked about this, Anselm, a great theologian, Curdeus Homo, the God-man, he said. Recent language in the 20th century, we might talk about the Superman. God reveals himself. He's in solidarity with you and with me. So much so that he wants us to know him and live with him forever. Our hope, this horizon of hope that we have. So what's the shepherd's response? When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. That actually is kind of an amazing response. Because as we go back, they're not apathetic here. They don't yawn. They don't say, oh, wow, okay, that was kind of interesting, and go back, just take care of their sheep. They don't do that. They take a risk. We're going to have to leave our flocks and go. Can we do that safely? So there's probably a conversation going on in their minds. Can we do this or not? But they go. They go and see. So they model this response of obedience. It's not just a practical response. It's not just saying, oh, well, we can't go. That would be foolish to go. They take a risk. Go and see. And not only do they go and see, they go and tell. They tell the story to others. And it makes an impact on others because the crowds are amazed. And Mary ponders the truth in her heart. So how powerful was this story for Mary? Here we get some shepherds coming and saying, wow, something amazing happened to us. Here it is. And we're told that Mary treasured all those thoughts in her heart. It was important for her. It's all a result of what the shepherds have done. So it's an invitation to us. Go and see and go and tell. Go and see and go and tell. It brings us to this message of reconciliation. Psalm 51. We screw up. We do things that are not right. And God doesn't hold us and say, well, that's it for you. You're done, man. His message is one of forgiveness and mercy and reconciliation. That's what Advent's about. If God wasn't interested in reconciliation, he wouldn't have sent his son to do what he did. So God wants us to be right with him. He's shown us this. He's demonstrated this. And then we are invited to pass that on to others. So a challenge for you would be, possibly, who are you out of sorts with in your life? Who do you have a hard time being nice to? Who maybe have you held a grudge against for a long time? Those are realities, right? How can I seek reconciliation with this person? Rahner says, let us be kind. Let us be kind. In the middle, let us be kind today. After all, we do not have to be malicious and bitter and defend ourselves greedily and anxiously against others. Let us be kind. If we can't start with ourselves, then how can the world get any better? If God is reconciling us, then he invites us to reconcile ourselves with others, at least to try to reach out. So maybe through Advent we can be thinking about that a little bit. Who do I need to reach out? Could be a family member. Could be a neighbor. Could be somebody you work with. Instead, we often just carry on, right? We just kind of take the comfortable way, the easy way, and we don't engage. But the message of Advent is reconciliation. That's what Cheryl Bear was thinking about when she put these readings together that we've engaged, that's been in the bulletin. Take the next step. So may we take that next step. May you take that next step, this Advent. Take it seriously. Don't drift, man. You're going to drift. You go out this door, you're going to start drifting right away unless you pay attention. Pay attention. Let's pray together, and then we'll sing some songs. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we thank you and praise you that you have indeed reconciled us. You offer us that reconciliation in your Son, Jesus Christ, that in a mysterious way, you as Father, Son, Holy Spirit have broken into our world that we might be right with you. And I pray, Father, that indeed we will praise you and give you thanks because of what you've done for us. Advent begins the story, movement towards Lent, moves towards Easter, to Pentecost, your Holy Spirit with us. So, Father, we praise you and thank you for your reconciling work in Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us, each one of us, to reflect, and maybe there's somebody that we need to get things sorted out with, that we can be part of this reconciliation process. Help us not to slip by. Help us not to sleep through Advent, but to hear and be responding to your Spirit's work in our lives. And this I pray in Christ's name. Amen.